All of these needs are the ego-based needs that cost us money and cause you to make bad decisions. It's really simple.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
I want to talk about game time decision making, which is value-based decisions. We have to make very quick decisions. And the reason we have to make quick decisions today is that the innovation in technology, processing, and data are out of control. It's accelerating at a pace that's unbelievable. There's more data in the Wall Street Journal tomorrow than existed in all of the 1950s. So if you're running a business, no matter it's based off of the financial institutions that we know, the educational institutions, the political institutions, whatever institutions that have been created, they're totally antiquated. And yet we're supposed to run businesses, I think I know one of them here, that's over 117 years old. Imagine the change that's gonna occur next week, and how do we keep pace with that? The way that I believe that we keep pace with that is through values and understanding old school values and old school possibility to perspective. How are things manifested? And I'm gonna tie in a few lessons that I've learned. I know I shared some stories with some people here that they were interested. The way that I determine the values, and I just haven't been in sports my whole life. I went to law school. The only reason I literally went to law school was to be rich. I had an extraordinary mom, extraordinary, six kids, single mom, doctor, lawyer, failure. Fetus wasn't fully developed till after graduate school. Four brothers, one sister, all went to the Ivy Leagues. People ask me how she was so successful with the Harvard, Penn, Columbia, all these great kids, and she raised us literally teaching and filling up turnstiles at the 7-Eleven with greeting cards and packing our dinner in a station wagon. While me, my dad left at five, at 7-year-old, I had a very wealthy father married to a lady that was closer to my age than his, me in the backseat going, "Mom, you're such a loser. Why can't you be more like dad?" I've learned my lesson because my mom had two gifts of being a parent. So we'll start with parenting advice, which is great employment advice as well. One, wake your kids up at 5 a.m., period. They will not have enough energy to get in trouble. That was her first parenting thing. The second is, you wouldn't recognize it, but she was a black belt in the martial arts. She was a third degree black belt in the martial art of Jewish guilt. So those two weapons alone, you can run a business on, and it beats all technology and acceleration. Anyway, I went to law school to be rich. I wanted to be rich to buy my mom a house and a car. I grew up happy, and I will get to the point that I think we have a happiness problem. That's the biggest fear that I have for corporate America and all the companies that I executive coach, is that people aren't happy. From the graduating seniors in college to the people that are employed, it's about 90% of the people today are not happy. They're full of anxiety, fear, depression, suicides on an extraordinary rate. This is a big issue for business. And it may not seem so. We may be creating void shortages and obstacles for the technology and the acceleration and the money side of things in these institutions, but it really comes down to these core values. And my core values, I was happy. The only time I wasn't happy is I saw my mom crying because the car broke down. Financial stress was literally the only time that I was unhappy, because I saw my mom stressed and unhappy and crying. So in my mind, I thought, man, if I'm rich, I'll be happy. I'll buy my mom a house and a car. I reverse engineer where I went to law school by what graduates and what type of job makes the most money. So I saw that oil and gas litigation made the most money. I went to Tulane Law School, studied maritime law. When I graduated, two job offers, one to be an oil and gas litigator, the other was to sell legal research online. Now, this is one of the key lessons today as an employer that you have to understand, because we do this to our employees, our associates, our managers, and our executives. I asked my mom what I should do. I wanted to be rich. I had, you know, six-figure job being a lawyer. My comp plan selling legal research was $250,000. I was 24 years old. Both seemed like I'd be okay making money. So I asked my mom, what should I do, without blinking? Of course, she said, be a real lawyer. She also said, because this internet, it's a fad. I see this happen all the time. In business, in sports, and in life, we put faith in what other people want for us. We vote for what other people want for us, especially if they care about us, they employ us, they pay us, they love us. And it's a huge mistake. Just because someone loves you and pays you, or pays you and doesn't love you, doesn't mean they give you good advice. And we're going to go down, with things moving so quickly, the wrong path if we're voting for the wrong things. You have to vote for what you believe in when you're making your decisions. You need to vote and put faith in what you want. Because what happens to most people is they put faith in what other people want for them, their bosses, their management, their parents, their friends, their kids. They put faith in what other people want, and they're able to manifest it, possibility to probability perspective, and then they're resented. They're unhappy. Why not vote for what you want? Faith is just like voting. The more you vote for what you want, the more you think, say, do, and believe what you want, the more likely it will occur in life and business, in your personal life and in business. And it's missed today all the time. So for the first time in my life, I voted against my mom. I went into the internet 9 months out of law school. I was a millionaire. I bought my mom a house and a car, continued on to the Silicon Valley where I ran and raised money in Sand Hill Road, in the wireless proxy service space, the middleware space, with a company called EveryPath. I learned all of these different things about technology with no technology or engineering background at all. My skill set was sales. I stuck to what I knew. I'm not sure consciously I knew, but I stuck to the fact that I was a born salesperson and I could raise money because I could sell. And somehow I sold my way into being the CEO of the world's first smartphone, Samsung's first Windows CE device at 32. I was a multimillionaire because I could sell. And at that time, I truly believed that money bought happiness. Now, the interesting thing about money is that it's a lot like faith, in my opinion. Money is a currency, right? It's an object of energy that you put into the flow. And that today is mostly accommodated by Amazon. And I guess Alibaba in the East. what, they have a $30 billion day or whatever it was. But it's accommodated that currency you put into the flow and you get what you want. And if you have a green card, you can get so much. If you have a gold card, a little bit more. Platinum card, more. But if you have a black card, you can buy whatever you want on Amazon. The same thing holds true with your faith. Faith is a currency. It's just at a higher vibration. What you put faith in, what you think, say, do, and believe, and even the unconscious competency that you have. As an executive, you have an unconscious competency that has placed you there. What is an unconscious competency? It's the quantum memory, your DNA. It's your own individual fingerprint on life. It's the personality traits that you were born with, the characteristics, the obsessions and addictions. I believe you could drop all of us anywhere in the world and we'd end up executives. Just like I believe you could drop all the money in the world in the desert, it would redistribute itself to the same people. Because faith is a currency the same way money is a currency. And the people who have green card faith, they kind of vote for what they want. They get this much of what they want. If you have gold card faith, you get a little bit more. Platinum card faith. But if you have black card faith for what you want, as an executive, not just in your personal life, you'll be amazed how quickly it comes. Even faster than prime. It'll come faster than prime. You can do it yourself. Well, anyway, I moved forward with this philosophy that money bought happiness until I had everything. I had three daughters. I married my dream girl that I met and my wife in the fourth grade. She hated me. That actually reaffirmed that money bought love because I couldn't imagine at 29 I was any better looking than when I was young. She's going to kill me when she sees this video. But the amazing thing is, and I was telling this story earlier, is I had everything. I literally had everything. Anything I wanted to buy, I had. I couldn't believe this was my life. In fact, my biggest problem was I didn't feel worthy of it. I remember lying in bed in a huge home in Rancho Santa Fe with a Ferrari, a Porsche, a boat, motorhome, whatever I wanted, thinking to myself, oh my God, I'm not happy. How the hell did I make all this money? My mom made $17,000. I'm not happy. And I started putting faith in what I didn't want. I started surrounding myself with the wrong ideas, the wrong people. And I see this happen all the time, not just in people's personal lives, but people that are executive especially in their professional lives. They're stuck. They're stuck because their quantum memory has them in a place and they've forgotten how they gotten there. They've forgotten what values got them there. That's what happened to me. In fact, it happened so bad that 2 years before I lost everything, it was over $100 million. And I promised a few of you that I would tell you, someone asked me, how could you be dumb enough to lose $100 million? That was you, David, right? 2 years before I lost everything, I learned my values, and I'll tell you how. Number one, when I was 30 years old, my father, who left when I was five, who was my hero, at 10 years old, forgot my birthday and made a big mistake. Told me that he didn't believe in birthdays, he didn't forget my birthday. Now I was smart enough at 10 years old to realize that my dad was a liar. He was a manipulator, he was an overseller, a back-end seller. And I went from loving my dad, idolizing him, to hating him. But at 30 years old, he sent me a birthday present for the first time in 20 years. He sent me a beautiful blazer that fit perfectly. But when I opened it, I was so excited because it fit perfectly. It meant that he asked my wife what my sizes were. But I opened it and he had torn all the pockets out from the inside. So I called him immediately and I'm like, Dad, why are you torturing me? What did I do to you to deserve this on my 30th birthday? He said, what are you talking about? That's the greatest gift I could give you. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, I gave you that jacket to remind you of me, that you're just like me. I immediately said, what, an asshole? I wasn't joking. I literally was so upset. I couldn't imagine how sick he was to do this to me. But he said, no, you're just like me. He said, I don't want you to be just like me. I don't want you to be the richest man in the cemetery. I want you to understand and hang that jacket in your closet to remind you every day that you're not taking anything with you when you're gone. 2 years before I lost everything, this came to me, and no more than the next day, I'm playing golf with my best friend from the fourth grade, the boy who asked my wife at sixth grade camp to go steady in front of everyone, and she said, no, tell him to ask me himself. So I threw an egg at her, which is why it took me so many years to marry her. But we were golfing together, and I asked him, why don't we hang out anymore? He said, because I don't like who you hang out with. And I said, oh, well, I'm not doing what those guys are doing. And he said, well, Dave, you can lie to me, but don't lie to yourself. No more than 2 weeks from then, now at this time, I had already moved and started working for Lee Steinberg here in Orange County. And it was my dream job, which just fed into the fact that I could manifest whatever I wanted and how much in control I thought I was. Meanwhile, at the home front, I came home at 5:30 in the morning, completely intoxicated and probably other things, lying to my wife, told her I was at a business meeting in Orange County. We still lived in Rancho Santa Fe. I was commuting back and forth. And I walked in, and my wife, for the first time in my entire life, told me she wasn't happy. Now, I immediately went to bed really pissed. I was drunk, probably high, but I went to bed pissed, going, are you kidding me? I've given her everything, these kids, this house. I woke up in the morning even more upset. Angry, thinking about what lawyer I was gonna hire. And then all of a sudden, I started thinking about that jacket in my closet. I started thinking about my best friend. And I started thinking about why or how my wife couldn't be happy. And I was blessed. Because the last thing my wife told me is, you better go take stock in who you were and what you want to become, or I'm leaving. And it hit me that my wife was right, my dad was right. I hated my father because he was exactly like me. All the things I hated about myself. So I went and outlined these values that helped me write this book, and these values helped me as I've been around the owners, Tillman Fertitta, Kroenke, Jerry Jones, all these great owners. The one thing that I've learned from all of them is they make their decisions based on values. There's no great quantitative analysis going on when they buy Mastros. It's literally off of their values. They look, and these are the values that are most common in the most successful people. As I have my Playbook to Success podcast, all the great athletes, great CEOs, great spiritual thought leaders, they all have these same four values. And I'm gonna go through them really quickly, or at least enough time. Number one, I wrote down gratitude. I lost my gratitude. I grew up with nothing but gratitude. Gratitude gives you perspective. It allows your past to be great, your present to be better, and your future to be brighter. In fact, if you wanna change your life and you're gonna take away one thing tonight, Just say thank you before you go to bed and thank you when you wake up. I guarantee you, quantitatively, your life will change if you can do that 30 days in a row. It will become part of that quantum memory that you had. I lost my gratitude. The saddest thing about gratitude is, anybody here think they can say thank you 30 days in a row? Everybody does. Here's the saddest thing. By tonight, half of you won't say thank you. By tomorrow morning, another half of you won't say thank you. And within 3 days, almost all of us won't say thank you. I've studied with the wealthiest men and women in the world. I've studied with the thought leaders. I've written books with Jack Canfield. All of them will agree that gratitude is the easiest way to change your life. But yet, we're so far in our own way, most of us will not say thank you, even though we know it's the easiest, cheapest, and fastest way to change our lives. Change your way you look at things, the things you look at change. The second thing, and in my life was really important, and we have to institute these values. It's funny, in my business, people come in, they dream about being Jerry Maguire. Oh my God, I get to work with Dave Meltzer and Warren Moon and all these great people. And they're like, what are you gonna teach me? What are you gonna teach me? I'm like, gratitude. Two, forgiveness. Forgiveness, gratitude will give you perspective, but forgiveness will give you peace. And the great thing about forgiveness is there's only one person you ever have to forgive. Everybody knows who that is, right? Yourself, right? Why? Because we can't give what we don't have. How much time, money, emotion, and resources are wasted in your business? How much time, money, and resources are wasted in your business because there's no forgiveness? Do you know how many executives I see wasting time, emotion, and resources because they haven't forgiven themselves and they can't give it to others? They sit in blame, shame, and justification all the time, making bad decisions, ego-based decisions, because they have a need to be right, a need to be offended, a need to be resentful, a need to be superior, a need to be inferior, a need to be separate, a need to be anxious, a need to be frustrated, a need to be angry. All of these needs are the ego-based needs that cost us money and cause you to make bad decisions. It's really simple. If you want to make good decisions, look at it with a perspective and a lens of gratitude and forgive yourself. And then finally, third, be accountable. Accountability should be a cornerstone of your businesses. When you make a decision, the only two questions you should ask yourself is, number one, what did I do to attract this to myself? And two, what am I supposed to learn from it? Life is about lessons. The lessons are going to keep on coming until you learn them. If you haven't learned the lesson yet, it's going to result in some sort of pain. Physical pain, emotional pain, financial pain. It will manifest itself in pain if you haven't learned the lesson. Here's the coolest things about lessons. One, you will forget every lesson you ever have learned. I teach and preach gratitude, forgiveness, and accountability. And I forget it every day. I'm not grateful every day. I forget to be kind. I forget to pick up trash. I forget what's really important to me. So we have to be cognizant as executives that we can't forget the lessons. We have to remember rule number two about lessons is, number one, we're going to forget every lesson we ever learned. But most importantly, especially with technology, we have the power to remember all lessons at any time and access them now, even ones we've never known before. If we're looking, it's one Siri question away. We can learn the lesson. Now, we're going to forget it, but we can learn it, and we want to institute that. Now, finally, as I come to the last few minutes, the fourth value that I had, I called effective communication. And when I was lying in bed thinking about how I was going to change my life back to what it was 2 years before I lost everything, I thought, wow, if I could just effectively communicate, motivate, and inspire people again. And then I realized one thing, that it was more than effective communication. It was true inspiration, that I had to learn to clear the corrosion and interference to that which inspired me. What made me great, what gave me power throughout my entire career as an executive, was that I was completely connected to inspiration all the time. I had more energy and positive light than anyone that I knew. And I allowed all of my ego to corrode that connection. And that I was going to allow that power to come through me with appreciation, adding value to it, to give away, that I would have to learn to effectively communicate first with the highest and most powerful source of light, energy, and wisdom that I did. And we're all connected like a lamp at all times. You don't have to connect to it. You have to clear the connection by being aware of what your ego feeds us to do, because when we make decisions out of ego, we're accelerating in the wrong direction. When you are in ego-based consciousness, the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, etc., you are on fire. Your mind is on fire, your body is on fire, your soul is on fire, and you're moving and accelerating in the wrong direction. This is how bad decisions are made, really bad ones. And when somebody asks me, how do you lose $100 million? Live in ego. And that's what I was doing. I got into a lawsuit. I didn't ask for help. I had no humility at all. I'd always made money, always thought I'd make money. I owned a golf course, a ski mountain, 33 homes, tons of stocks. I had over $100 million just in the golf course alone. And I thought, as I got into the lawsuit, I needed to prove that I was going to be right. And I just started blowing through cash to prove that I was right. And then I went to my private bank and I said, oh, you know, I need another $5 million. You know, can I run a line for that? And they said, no. So what are you talking about? I have all this equity. They said, oh, we know you have equity, but it's late 2007. We'd rather hold on to that equity. We're not so confident in how much you have anymore. And it seems like you're blowing through cash really fast. Maybe you should go somewhere else. And very quickly, when you have that much, the bills keep coming. And God forbid you miss one payment, but you still got the lawyers to handle. And then maybe there's a malpractice side of the lawsuit and you end up actually losing the countersuit and getting a judgment against you. And all of a sudden, things really spiral. But in the end, I lost over $100 million because instead of living my life in the enjoyment of the consistent everyday, persistent without quit, pursuit of my potential, my truth, which is what my mom instilled in me, regardless of what talent, skills, or desire I had, she instilled in me to enjoy every day that consistent, persistent pursuit. I decided to live in ego-based consciousness with all of these needs, and I accelerated in the wrong direction. If your mind, body, and soul are on fire, we all know what to do when you're on fire. Stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop, and roll. Stop, relax, go back to your center, to your higher frequency, to your truth-based consciousness, and make a game time decision. Do not make your decisions in ego-based consciousness. Do not allow your management to do it, your employees to do it. Use gratitude, accountability, effective communication, and inspiration to lead and inspire others. And to conclude, the main purpose of this book, as I told a few people earlier, is that it literally goes through a pregame analysis, a lesson using sports stories, and a postgame analysis on how to stay in truth consciousness, how to make good decisions, to be kind, to provide value, to be of service, utilizing sports as a backdrop or a leader to do so. That's what that book does. That's what we're here to do. Why? Because my only mission in life now, I've made a lot of money, I've helped a lot of people and have a lot of fun, is I'm looking for 1,000 of you that can impact 1,000 more people, that can impact 1,000 more people just simply to be happy. To empower them with gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration as much as you can every single day. Because I know in my lifetime, if I can just find 1,000 of these great executives like yourself that have that ability, 1,000 times 1,000 is a million times 1,000 is a billion. And I sit here humbly thinking, if I ever thought I could stand on a stage and truly believe myself that I could impact the world that significantly, to bring 1 billion people to be happy and create a collective consciousness that would create abundance for everyone, food, everything you can think of would be available. The math makes sense, and I know that in my lifetime, because I get so many different stages, that I will find 1,000 of you. And if you want to be one of those 1,000, please reach out to me, because that's what truly will make me happy, is to make you happy and empower you to make others happy. I appreciate your time. I appreciate Scott. Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.